You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We are 2 hours out from Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com.
Say what?
Yeah. NBC News, an engine failure forced pilots on a Qantas flight to make an emergency landing shortly after it took off from an airport in Sydney, Australia. Passengers heard a loud bang.
It was a big-ass boom.
Shortly after Flight 520 from Sydney to Brisbane left the runway this afternoon. Engineers concluded after a preliminary inspection confirmed the Boeing 737 jet suffered an engine failure. Passenger Mark Willisey, who is a journalist with Australia's ABC News, is quoted as saying, "A really jolting shudder went through the plane. We knew immediately that something was wrong. That big bang as the wheels were leaving the ground and then the shudder, it was like nothing I have ever felt before." He says the plane struggled to get altitude. You think?
It was a big ass.
Yes, it was.
So we would be remiss if we did not mention that Monday is Veterans Day. Dan, thank you for your service.
Quite welcome.
Only one the program who has served. And I want to read this story because I think it is important that this work continues. From Fox 4, remains of soldier killed on D-Day are being returned to Kansas.
Oh.
The remains of a U.S. soldier who was killed in action during the invasion of Normandy during World War II have returned home. Sergeant John O. Herrick of Emporia was assigned to the 149th Engineer Combat Battalion. On June 6, 1944, Sergeant Herrick was among 200 soldiers and 25 Coast Guard crew members on board a landing craft approaching Omaha Beach at Normandy on D-Day. According to the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency, the ship was struck by enemy mortars before it hit a mine, igniting the fuel in the forward troop compartment and killing the men inside instantly. Mm. The remains of the soldiers in the compartment were eventually recovered, but were unable to be identified. They were interred as unknowns in Normandy American Cemetery. In 2021, the unidentified remains were transferred to the DPAA lab for analysis. What's DPAA?
No idea.
We'll come back to that. Oh, the Defense POW MIA Agency. The lab was able to identify one set that belonged to Sergeant Herrick in the summer of 2023. On Veterans Day, Monday, a special burial service will be held for Sergeant Herrick in his hometown of Emporia.
Wow. That's incredible. I learned something just now with you reading that story that I did not know about World War II.
He was 19 years old when
he
died.
That's too bad. I did not know that the Coast Guard engages in foreign combat.
Oh, yeah. World War II? Certainly.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
It was a nationwide effort.
Yeah,
Dan.
Yeah.
When they say they were on a landing craft, that means one of those like amphibious looking things where the entire wall comes down, correct?
And the boat that they ran up onto the beach.
Yes.
This ship that they were on was a little different type of landing craft, but yes, similar.
And I'm also looking up because they were interred at the time as unknowns in Normandy American Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen pictures of that 1,000 times. That's in Saving Private Ryan.
I see it now.
With all the white crosses.
Yep.
That's where, you know, they have the D-Day ceremonies where the president will go.
Lays the wreath. Yep.
And lay the wreath.
Okay, so this also says to me then, you know, they did not have the technology, obviously, back after the war to identify the remains. But for any of the soldiers who were in that compartment when that happened, they have the remains. You know, it's important, I think, to understand that work still continues and I believe should.
But they were only able to identify his remains of the several that were interred.
The story focuses on him coming back home to Emporia because it's obviously a Kansas story.
Local story.
It's a local story. But
they've identified numerous remains through the years for service members from across the country.
I did not know this. Congressman Ed Reese of Emporia introduced the bill creating the Veterans Day holiday, which was signed into law by Kansan World War II general and President Dwight D. Eisenhower in 1954.
Used to be known as Armistice Day.
Sergeant Herrick, it just so happens, was born on that day in 1924. So, yeah, Congressman Ed Reese of Emporia is the one who introduced the bill creating Veterans Day that we will mark on Monday.
And if I could, just very quickly, Dan, thank you for your service, but I want to make sure that we thank everybody who put on a uniform, who is in the listening audience, and even those who are not listening to this show. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for what you did, what you were willing to do that the three other morons on this show were not. Well, thank you. An ordinance that is passed in one New Jersey town on 2024 Election Day could have people raising a glass. Haddon Heights voters had a simple yes or no question about making alcohol sales in Camden County legal for the first time in more than a century.
What?
Yes. Selling alcohol had been illegal in Camden County since 1904. The ballot passed on Tuesday with 2,176 voting yes and 1,351 saying no alcohol up in here.
No, we do not need it up in here.
Yep.
This ends a 120-year ban on alcohol sales.
A prohibition that existed until this week.
Why?
The bars and restaurants inside those city limits are so happy.
Which city?
It's the city is...
You don't want to go there.
Haddon Heights. It's in Camden County.
It's 10
New
miles south. Yes, 10 miles southeast of Philly.
Yep. Yeah, I know where Camden is.
Kind of stick must they have?
Boy, I'll tell you what.
Planted in a place we will not identify.
Well, took a while to pull it out.
But for 120 years, there will be no alcohol and no dancing in this town.
Keep this in mind. When I was working in Ottawa, Kansas, KOFO, in the mid-1990s, I think I'll word this correctly, there was a great controversy there because people wanted to legalize alcohol by the drink. I'm trying to remember exactly the way they phrased it. But you could not serve alcohol by the drink.
You had to buy it at a package store?
Or, like, I remember going to Pizza Hut one night, and you were allowed to buy a pitcher of beer, but you couldn't order a beer.
Huh.
You know, I think I'm getting this right. It's been 30 years since I was working there. But there were no bars in Ottawa. None.
Wait, go back to this. 62% of the people, what are there, three people who live there, first of all? 62% are in favor, 38% opposed.
5,500, I believe.
You mean to tell me we don't know. Was this the first time this ever even made it to the ballot? Because how was this not flipped in 1950 or 60 or set? Like, why now?
A town of 7,500 people, by the way. Not all of them, of course, of voting age. Dana, I have no idea. It's like going back in time. And I need not remind everybody, Kansas, up until a couple of decades ago, did not allow any Sunday liquor sales. You could not go into
blue
a liquor
laws.
Store. Yeah, blue laws. You could not go into a liquor store on a Sunday in Kansas. They had to be closed. Until one day Wyandotte County said, enough of this.
Listen to the first sentence in the New York Post story. A dry New Jersey town could soon be... Wait. A dry New Jersey town could
not
soon become three sheets closer to serving booze. Pop the bubbly.
I'm amazed that 1,300 people in that town voted against it. They wanted to keep their town dry. It's amazing.
You're not going to poison my streets.
That's right.
You know who's going to be against
demon
this?
Alcohol
all
in
all
here.
Of the neighboring towns are like, oh, hell.
There goes our sales.
We got away with it for 120 years.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Story here from the New York Post. American Airlines has revised its policy regarding booting passengers from planes, potentially making flyers harder to, quote, bounce. This is from the airline. We strive to cultivate a sense of community and provide a travel experience where everyone feels welcomed, American Airlines wrote in their revision of their in-flight manual. The rule changes were prompted by an incident over the summer in which American Airlines was sued after eight African-American passengers were kicked off of a flight from Phoenix to New York over a body odor complaint.
According and they targeted the only eight African-American men on the plane.
Correct.
I remember that story. We talked about when it first happened.
That's right. According to the new policy, flight attendants are only allowed to remove passengers if there is, quote, a risk to safety and security. In addition, any issues need to be broached by passengers first and not crew members. So I guess you're supposed to take it up with the person sitting next to you that they stink.
Oh, yeah, that's going to go over really well.
That's going to go over really well.
Hey, have you showered in the last 3 weeks?
And it says in here somewhere there's also something about inappropriate clothing, but I'm struggling to find that at the moment in this
because
story.
The problem with the inappropriate clothing issue,
it typically discriminates against people who are
overweight,
larger.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you getting on an airplane, and I saw this the last time I flew, there was a very curvy younger woman, 20, 21, something like that. And she was wearing basically a bra.
Yeah, sports bra.
It looked to me to be more just a bra bra.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
and just hanging out. And I remember thinking, like, good for you, body positivity, like all of that stuff. But like, I would not be comfortable traveling like that. I mean, and she had a light jacket over it that covered nothing.
I think she was trying to make a statement.
I said to the person I was traveling with, she is just trying to be flagged. She's not clothed.
Mm-hmm. Well, there have been issues in the past where there have been plus size influencers who have made a point to wear as little clothing as they can and hop on a plane and film everything that happens for
clicks.
I'm with Sam. The problem with the clothing thing is, you know, if you are, you know, wearing yoga pants and you are 92 pounds and, you know, your midriff is showing, no one's probably going to say anything. I don't think that's an appropriate way to travel either. But if you are larger.
Mm-hmm. But then again, if I tried to get on a plane with spandex shorts and a crop top on, I would hope they would kick me off.
I wouldn't want to see your hairy, a man's hairy chest or gut hanging out either. But
he said spandex. There's something else on him I don't want to see.
Yeah. That's more of the abrasive front,
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. I did find the line. It's only one paragraph.
What if it's a toxic odor? We got to get back to the odor.
Okay. You cannot remove somebody from a flight, at least an American Airlines flight now, because they have body odor.
Now, they mentioned safety. What about the safety of my nostrils?
Now, I did find the line about attire, and it's only one paragraph. It says here, blah, 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 removal over inappropriate attire will also not be up to the discretion of a single flight attendant as it was in the past. So somebody could be removed for inappropriate clothing, you know, like you were saying, the woman coming on with what appeared to be just a bra.
If multiple flight attendants are like, okay,
or
we can't
pilot,
have that.
Or the pilot says, we're not having that on our flight. Now, I have been next to somebody on a flight who clearly had not bathed in a while. And it's gross. And you know that smell when you smell it.
It was the last flight I was on. It was unbearable.
Now, to be fair, some people, when they start getting sweaty, and maybe flying is an anxious thing for them, when they start getting sweaty, their pits start to stink.
No. This was permeating throughout every piece of clothing the entire family was wearing.
Oh, I've been in those situations before. I know what you're referencing, but I'm saying that in other situations, it's not because they didn't shower that morning. They just wore off their deodorant before they got to the airport.
Well, bring some extra.
I'm not speaking from personal experience.
This was a living, breathing organism of a smell.
It's body odor.
I told you, I was with Patty. We were on the plane and
where was this other person?
One of them was sitting next to us, and then in the other row, straight across, was Dad and the like 7-year-old, and it was
everybody.
Unbearable. I took my coat and I put it over my entire head because I would rather not be able to breathe well than to breathe that. It's embarrassing. I understand it's uncomfortable, but I think there are some odors when you are trapped in that fuselage that are so overpowering.
It's repugnant.
And then I kept saying to Patty, how do you not know?
Oh, you know. I can tell when, like, I've only taken, you're going to find this hard to believe, I've only taken one shower today. When I get home, I'm going, I know, it's the first sign of the apocalypse.
I thought I smelled something.
I don't stink. But I bet by the time I get home, I might have a mild odor in my pits. I will shower the second I walk in the door tonight.
I reapply deodorant at least 2 times a day because
that's
I stopped
not what
using
this was.
Antiperspirant.
No, this was institutional, built in.
It's a stench deodorant can't cure.
Lifelong.
Right. You're saying it wasn't coming from the pits?
In the clothes. No.
No. No, it's coming, it's coming from the skin
and the clothing.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. American Airlines has revised its policies. You cannot be removed from a flight because you stink.
From the text line, I work in social work. Just put a little Vapo rub under each nostril. Works like a charm.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. Jacob in my hometown of Lansing. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hope you're doing well this Friday.
We are. Thank you for asking.
So, yeah, this is a weird thing. I work in construction on a small crew, and I work with somebody that's a little hippie-ish and another guy that's a little heavy set. And one just doesn't believe in, you know, deodorant, that kind of stuff. And the other one, I don't know. I would say it's, you know, during the middle of the day, it could get a little ripe. But this is oftentimes first thing in the morning, and I don't know how to approach it. I feel like a jerk saying anything, but it gets repugnant was a great term because it's like I can tell which elevator this guy rode in. Several minutes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
The linger longer body odor.
You are painting a picture with that statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got the green lines and the whole, you know, it burns your eyes and your nose when you walk through the area. And, you know, again, he's young. I don't know how to approach it. I don't know if I'm wrong for saying something, but it is sort of offensive. And I'll be honest, it makes it hard to work.
Man,
I'm not sure if I'm being mean by, you know, just like nonchalantly carrying a little thing of Axe spray and as he walks by, you know, give him a little.
Well, I think that would be a bridge too far.
I don't know if I would do that.
I wouldn't do that. Do you have a foreman?
He is one of them is the foreman.
Oh,
makes it a little tough. One's the foreman and one's an apprentice.
Mm. I hope they don't listen to this show because now they know.
Yeah, well, I'm maybe kind of secretly hoping that they do, and now I don't have to approach it personally.
Does the foreman have a boss?
Yeah, the big boss. To be clear.
Don't name any companies or any people.
No. I don't know how they don't notice or haven't said anything. And maybe it's because they can pop in and out very briefly and don't have to, you know,
stay
in the stench. But I would love to hear some feedback from some other listeners because I don't know how to approach it, but it is a problem for sure.
All right. Well, now we kind of have a two-pronged topic.
Right.
So we have American Airlines relaxing how bad you can smell on their airplanes. But to Jacob's point, and this is usually something, at least in a larger company, you would take up with HR, and then they would have to deal with it.
And doesn't that have to be the most dreaded thing if you're an HR person?
Yeah, that
when
you'd
you
probably rather fire
me,
somebody than tell them they stink.
When you walk near me, I don't like the smell. Would you stay over there?
I feel like throwing up. Would you put on some deodorant? For those of you in HR, those of you who have approached HR or a fellow employee about the way that they smell, how did you do it? It had to be uncomfortable, but maybe you would argue necessary. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
Do you smell it? That smell. The smelly smell. The smelly smell that smells smelly.
So we started this topic in the last segment telling you that American Airlines has changed their manual, if you will, employee manual, that they cannot kick people off of flights anymore simply because of their body odor. And in some cases, even if somebody else is wearing inappropriate clothing. And it got us into a separate topic because of Jacob in Lansing. And Jacob, thank you, who called in and said that there are two people that he works with. I'm not going to reiterate where he works, who stink really badly. And he said it even makes it hard for him to work sometimes. And he was asking for our advice on how to handle it. I was not going to give him any other than to say maybe tell somebody else and let them handle it. So it created a secondary topic of how do you handle dealing with somebody who stinks? Like really bad. Not like just got off the basketball court and didn't have a chance to shower yet. We're talking, you know the smell. You know the smell.
Yep.
Howard in Kansas City. Howard, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Well, yeah, you know, great topic. First of all, I love listening with you guys, but I will tell you, so I used to work in the hotel industry and I was on the night audit and we had a night operator back in the day where we actually answered phones and did all that fun stuff in the hotel business. And oh my goodness, I would routinely get asked by the morning staff coming in when they relieved her to do something about it. It was so bad that it left a stain on the chair. It left.
Oh.
Yes. It was lingering way after the fact. And then I was asked to address it. And this was a female employee, which was difficult for me as a male. But I will tell you, and I think you all probably know this, I mean, it is a monstrously delicate conversation. And the way I approached it initially was, you know, I brought her into the office, obviously, and I said, this is hard for me, really hard for me. You're a great team member, but you have an odor situation that is brought to work on a daily basis, and we need to try to see how we can correct that. And, you know, I'm willing to, you know, have other females talk with you, address it maybe a little bit so you understand maybe what you can do to help prevent it in a certain degree. I think probably I was very fortunate that she was receptive to it. I don't think that she recognized it, though.
Really?
No, she just did not know. And so, we talked about it, and it got corrected kind of off and on. You know, it was one of those things that we dealt with for a little while and went back and forth. But it is not a fun conversation, nor is it an easy conversation. I don't care if it's female to female, male to male, male to female.
Right.
It's a delicate conversation.
I can only imagine. Howard, thank you for the call.
No, thanks for letting me on. Okay. Have a great day.
You be good. 586-7798. Joan in Olathe. Joan, hi.
Hi. I worked with a lady in a corporate environment, and she had a very, like, rancid onion that smelled all the time. And a lot of people did complain to HR, and HR spoke to her, and she was very well aware of it, but she had some kind of condition that caused that odor.
Yeah.
That she could do nothing about, which was horrible. Then we, you know, all felt horrible. And I was in an office, so I never, but if she was in a cube around a bunch of other cubes. So for those people, it was bad. And the worst part is when, you know, executives once in a while would have their wives come in with their little kids, and you'd have one of them broke kids who couldn't control what they say. You would be like, dang.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then it would get bad, so everybody had to start warning their kids and stuff. Because she was very prim and proper and clean and everything, but she had something that caused that.
So, Joan, I'm glad you brought that up, because we saw what you were going to call in about, and I looked it up. I can only find two conditions. One's called bromhidrosis.
Yep.
And it is a condition that arises when bacteria on the skin breaks down sweat, producing an unpleasant smell. And can be caused by factors like poor hygiene, certain medications,
yes,
infections, or an underlying metabolic disorder. And then I'm going to butcher this one. It's a long word. Trimethylaminuria. And that is a disorder in which the body is unable to break down trimethylamine, which is a chemical compound that has a pungent odor. Trimethylamine has been described as smelling like rotten or decaying fish.
That is the one. I remember Oprah did a segment on this many, many years ago. She said, until you smell that, you do not even understand what we're talking about. It will knock you back. And you feel so bad because that is a medical condition. The family of three that I was with on the airplane, that was not a medical condition. That was a hygiene issue.
Yeah. Sean in Warrensburg. Good afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
As a teacher for 25 years, I've had thousands of students come through my door, and I will have thousands more as I wrap up my career. This happens every year. One or two students, and you just grin and bear it. Now, in college, when this would happen, and it was a colleague in a class, I would subtly leave a bar of soap and a deodorant for them at their station as a hint. But as a teacher now, and having all these students, I am aware that some is a hygiene issue. Some comes because of, low economics.
Yeah.
Some comes of, just laziness, let's be frank. And some, like you mentioned, are medical conditions. And I've also learned sometimes it's a cultural thing. They don't believe in chemical products like deodorant and stuff like that. And sometimes a bar of soap is not going to cut it. But beyond the BO, which I've had some students, it's like the Ten Commandments and the green fog, and you walk through it. Or like Sex Panther cologne, it stings the nostrils.
But 60% of the time, it works every time.
That's right. There's sometimes it's other things like cat urine.
Oh, an ammonia smell.
Yeah,
exactly. Or if they are in a house where meth is being created, you get that cat urine smell as well.
Oh.
And so I've addressed this with administration and nursing and the nurse, and they will talk to them. And for some, sometimes it's mediated. It's better for a day or two, but then we go right back to it. And so I just look at it like, if a kid comes in dressed inappropriately, I'm not touching it with a 10-foot pole. If you come in smelling foul, and, I've got to work next to you because I'm going to, get up next to you and show you how to do things.
Yeah.
I'm just going to grin and bear it and move on. I'm going to wish you well.
And, Sean, because I hadn't thought about kids, and that's a real tough one. And
yeah.
I don't envy your position, but – unless and I don't think you do necessarily, any teacher would, unless you know what the real reason is why that child smells, because you're right. If it's a socioeconomic or the parents just don't promote good hygiene at home, that's not anything you can fix.
That's exactly right. And I'm never going to want to put a student in a position where they're embarrassed.
Nope. That's right.
Or compromised.
Good for you.
And so it's just like,
The meth scares me though, Sean. Wait, the meth scares me. I did not realize meth had a smell, but that scares me a little bit because that is a safety and a security issue.
That's exactly right. So if it's a cat urine smell, I will bring that up with the administration or a counselor or a nurse, and they can investigate that. Because you're right. If that's the situation, that's a bigger problem, and the child needs to be looked into and possibly removed.
Yeah.
But if it's just that they live in a house full of cats and it's not clean and they're not taking care of it, it is what it is. But thank you.
Sean, thank you for the call. Halitosis, by the way, is another disorder where it makes the breath stink. I worked with a guy years and years ago who had halitosis, and it is unpleasant.
But that can also be medication.
Correct.
It can be bacteria. It can be,
Let's go to Sheila in Kansas City. Sheila, good afternoon. Hi.
Hi. I dig this show. It's so groovy.
Oh, Sheila, thank you.
Groovy is not a word we've heard used to describe it, but thanks.
I'm old, so. I used to work with a gal in manufacturing, and it got hot there in the summers. Oh, my God. And she not only would not bathe, but she would poop her pants.
I'm sorry?
Oh, my gosh.
I thought you said she would poop her pants.
She did. Yes. But, it was awful. I mean, she'd walk around with that brown stain all day long.
No way.
No, come on, Sheila.
I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you. I had to go to the supervisor who had to go to HR. And they finally told her that if she's going to be like that, she needs to at least bring a second pair of pants.
Oh, my word. You've left me speechless.
Oh.
We were all speechless.
I'll be darned. Sheila, thank you for the call.
God.
Callie in...
That one left a mark.
Oh, hang on, Sheila. That went back
Thanks
to you.
Thanks a lot, Sam. Really?
Sam.
Really?
Let's get on down to Callie in Independence. Hello, Callie.
Hi.
Hi.
So I am a nurse, and I work, obviously, in healthcare, and I come across patients all the time of different economic statues, and it seems to be a running theme that if you are from someone with a less fortunate background, that you don't take as good of care of yourself as other people do. And there are times where, you know, as a nurse, you go in first before the physician or the nurse practitioner, and you have to come out and at least forewarn your physician that's going into the room about what they're about to walk into.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you don't, it can actually take away from what you're supposed to be visiting with the physician about versus what is really going on. And a lot of those issues are, you know, it is bacteria related, or especially in females, you can have growths in the lower regions, and it can cause odors that can become very pungent. And if you're not taking care of your body and getting those issues addressed, it can be very,
yes,
very known to others.
Mm. So I'll tell you this.
Thank you, Callie.
Callie, there have been times where I go in for my doctor appointment, actually a year ago, and I said to the provider, I said, look, I'm just going to come right out with it. I didn't have time to shave my legs. It is what it is. And she goes, oh, girl, that is the least of our worries when we're in here. She goes, that is so far down the list, it ain't even on the list. And I go, oh, I am so sorry to hear that.
I can imagine. Best Was Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. Hey, real quick, just because I saw this, it just cleared on the Kansas City Star. Local developers yesterday pitched a massive revitalization of the Ray's site, once home to Indian Springs Mall in Kansas City, Kansas, offering a fresh glimmer of hope in a part of KCK that has been dormant for decades. Envisioned is a village-like development complete with nearly 1,500 apartments, 280,000 square feet of retail, a hotel, a convention center, a grocery store, and a greenhouse. Wow. Run on the site's own 30-acre solar grid. Dubbed Midtown Station, the mixed-use project would span over 90 acres of land off State Avenue and 635. It is billed as a dense, walkable community, easily accessible by public transit, catered toward those seeking a home where shopping and restaurants are right next door. Says Eric Murray, who is a Wyandotte County native, and is leading the effort, quote, for years I've been saying this is the crown jewel. He added that the concept takes into account the needs of the neighborhood, one ranking in the bottom percentile across every socioeconomic metric. They can
I would call it a crown jewel, but it is a great location.
Sure it is.
I wonder what it feels like to live in a city that can figure out what to do with their vacant mall property.
I don't know, Sam.
I don't know. Call Mission. They figured it out. Oh, wait. So we can find a project for the old Indian Springs Mall, which has been, as the story mentions, dormant for years.
Right.
But we can't find anything. You want to talk about prime real estate right at the convergence of Shawnee Mission Parkway and Johnson Drive.
Great spot.
That land has sat empty for 17 years.
Well, and then we have the Merriam Grand Station, which they tore down that Kmart and have rebuilt basically an entire small city already.
It's one of the things that is so mind-boggling about the Gateway to Hell space in Mission is that it's not just one group of mayors or city people. You know, how many times have we elected a revolving door of people over 17 years, none of whom can figure out how to get something built there? Nobody.
I think the land might be cursed.
Do you think they had wished they had just built the Walmart?
Yes, I do, Sam. Throw up a crappy Walmart right there. It would be better than nothing. Well, I shouldn't say nothing. There's concrete stairs to nowhere.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why
vegetation.
I think it's cursed. I mean, they finally get something going up there, a movie theater, and then boom, here comes COVID, and they shut the whole thing down. And now, Dana's right, there's concrete steps to God knows where they were going to go. We don't.
Insurance liability.
I hadn't even thought about that. Festivus Friday coming your way in 1 hour. The airing of the grievances news with Dan Weinbaum in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word. It's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.